Good morning, Midland First. It is a gift to worship together. I am Pastor Bethany Maggieschi, and I serve as the associate pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. We have a few announcements for you this morning. Our first announcement comes from Fritz Hyde about Midwest Missions. There you go.
Here, we'll start over again. Good morning, everyone. Beth always says I don't need a microphone, but I had to know that it wasn't on. 12 of us will be going to Midwest Missions down in Pawnee, Illinois, May 12th through the 16th. There's a planning meeting in the chapel immediately following service today for the trip. I'm also here for a couple other mission moments. We've got two other mission events coming up. May 2nd, which is a Saturday, 1 week, one street, we'll be doing a fundraiser at Baldwin's Smokehouse down on M46 off of I-75. If anyone's interested in going, Pat McElvena is our team lead and has all the details for that. The other one is we'd like you to mark on your calendars, anyone that can make it for 1 week, one street. The event is June 22nd through June 26th. That's Monday through Friday. So if you can make that, that'd be great. Let Pat McElvena know if you have any questions, and he's our team lead for that event. Thank you.
Thank you, Fritz. And then I have an announcement for us about Graduation Sunday. Graduation Sunday will be May 17th. If you don't already have it on your calendar, mark your calendar. And if you are someone who has a family member who is graduating, but they aren't necessarily a member here, we would invite you to submit to the office where they're graduating from, where they're going to school, or what their future plans might be. And we would love to celebrate with those who are graduating from our church and those who are family members of yours that are also graduating. And so we invite you to mark your calendars for May 17th and get that information into the office. If you have questions, you can reach out, either call the office or send me an email. And then we have one final announcement this morning from Brad Barr about a special Sunday coming up.
Good morning, church. 8 months ago, our church began a very thoughtful, very focused effort to define who we are becoming, and how we commit to live together as a faith community. With your engagement and with your input, we now have a statement that describes the culture that we are striving to create here at Midland First, a statement we are calling our commitment to the cross. Please join us next Sunday, May 3rd, at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary as we center our worship on this shared commitment to God, to one another, and to the community. Also, if you happen to be available and are interested in a preview at 11 o'clock on this Thursday, April 30th, please join us for what we're calling a tassel party, where we are assembling bookmarks that we will be using as giveaways for this service. We invite you to be a part of this very important moment in the life of the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. And now we will go to a time of greeting one another, and our friend Teddy will bring us back together by the ringing of the bell. And if you would, please remain standing for the call to worship.
Okay, please remain standing for our call to worship. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. Show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Please continue standing and join us in the opening song.
You may be seated. We have a special time in our service. If you would like to follow along, we are on page 33 As we celebrate baptism and confirmation this morning, if you would like to turn to page 33 in your hymnal and follow along, or follow along with the words on our screen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Who presents these candidates for baptism and for confirmation?
This morning, as lead pastor, Jeremy Africa, I present to you Weston McKimmy for baptism, and alongside Weston, I present to you Blake Gibbon for confirmation.
Weston and Blake, I have a few questions for you this morning. And after I ask them, I will ask you to say, "I do." On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, "I do."
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, "I do."
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, "I do."
I do.
According to the grace given to you, we remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, "I will."
I will.
In the process of confirmation, Weston and Blake have had mentors walk alongside them, and today I ask them a question. Will you, who mentored these candidates, support and encourage them in their Christian life? If so, answer, "I will."
And as our confirmants have spoken to their faith, I invite us as a congregation to speak to ours. And so do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please respond, "We do." And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Blake and Weston now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them,
may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Weston, I invite you to come forward for your baptism. And let us pray. God, as Weston steps forward for his baptism, we are reminded of our baptismal waters. We are reminded of how you spoke order into chaos, of how your redeeming grace worked through the floodwaters, how your grace made a way forward through the separation of water and the seas. And Lord, we certainly are mindful too, and we're reminded of how the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism, and how you spoke words of affirmation. And so, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon these waters of Weston's baptism. We pray that you would pour your grace and your Spirit into his life in a meaningful way as your grace continues to make his path forward. So may you bless him in his baptismal waters, O Lord, as he joins your family, your church, and the work of your Spirit in this world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Weston, Elman, John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And so as each of our confirmants come forward to be confirmed, I'm going to invite you who have spoken into his life, maybe family, you might be friends, youth counselors, Sunday school teachers, maybe you knew them all the way back then, right? I'm going to invite you to stand as they are being confirmed so that they might be reminded and their families might be reminded of the wonderful cloud of witnesses that surround them as they come forward to confirm their faith. And so at this time, I'm going to invite forward Blake for your confirmation. Invite all those who have spoken into Blake's life and his faith to stand. Blake, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Weston, I'm going to invite you to come forward for your confirmation. Weston, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And now, Weston and Blake, as members of Christ's Universal Church, I ask you, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church, this worldwide church, this worldwide denomination that is seeking to love people, to make disciples? Will you be loyal to this church, the United Methodist Church, and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, I invite you to respond, I will. And now, as a member of the United Methodist Church, as members of this congregation, where we're embracing as our mission, helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ, where in next Sunday we're taking on a commitment to one another and to God and to our community, this commitment of the cross, I ask of you, will you faithfully participate in its ministries here at Midland First? Will you be faithful in your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness of Jesus Christ? If so, I invite you to respond, I will.
I will.
Having joined the church now, I invite you, Blake and Weston, to turn around and to face your congregation as we welcome you. Pastor Bethany?
Members of the household of God, I commend Weston and Blake. Faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through
Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, established you and strengthened you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. To signify this special occasion, we have some certificates for Weston and Blake. Weston and Blake, if you would come up here. We have a baptism certificate. Thank you. For Weston, and confirmation certificates for both Weston and Blake. And I would like for you to know that these young men have done some really, really incredible intentional work in learning and in engaging with the material that I gave them as I led them through confirmation. And I am so, so very proud of them and excited that we get to celebrate this occasion together, because they have really put a lot of thought and a lot of time into thinking about what this means for them and what this means for us as the church. And so what a gift it is to celebrate. And I just invite us all to extend our congratulations, and also to do so after worship. In the parlor, we will have a reception of cake, and Blake and Weston will be there if you would like to greet them and extend your congratulations personally. Blake and Weston, would you like to turn around so that the congregation can greet you? Thank you.
Children's blessing. Good morning. Woo! Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Look at all these wonderful children. I'm so happy to see you guys today. Oh, and so we are blessed to have Miss Claire with us today. We have Miss Robin, and we have Miss Brenda and myself in the Sunday school room. We're so happy you're here today. Today we're going to talk about the early believers, which is from Acts chapter 2 and 4. We're going to talk about how God shares with people, how he's very dependable for us. We're going to touch on that people cheered or traveled around the world and shared as missionaries. They said a lot of peace be with you. Also, we're going to talk about God's house, which is from John 14, 1 through chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. We're going to talk about how God has a place for us, that Jesus, after he came back to earth, he was going to go back to heaven and prepare a place for us. Our verse today is Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is from John 14, 6a, and we are in Easter 6 today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the confirmands today. We are so excited for them. We ask you to bless all of us as we go and learn more about the early believers and the missionaries and preparing a place for us. Jesus went to prepare a place in God's house for us. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Sundays wherein it's easy to be reminded that we are blessed and blessed upon abundance. And as our confirmants come forward to confirm their faith, faith that was spoken for them at their baptism, a faith that they have been nurtured in, it's easy to be reminded that we are blessed with abundance of opportunities to speak into their lives. You know, it might be these passing moments where you're taking them to a ball game or a rehearsal. And you have a sharing a random, or it seems like a random conversation in the car. It might be conversations parents share in between rushing from dinner to something else after school. But there's all these abundant opportunities to speak into their lives. And then I look out into the congregation and I see our pews with children. Children who, before we know it, will be coming forward for their confirmation. And I see some of you smiling because you know how quickly that happens. And it's great to see our kids hugging on their parents as they're seated in their pews and climbing on them and needing to keep them in the pew because they really want a better look at what's happening here. And I just think of the abundance of opportunities that God is giving this church to speak into the lives of children and of youth. And then my mind goes to the abundant opportunities we have truly throughout our week to give to a God who is giving us so much. Yes, in the offering plates here on a Sunday morning, but also in how we live our lives. Because just moments ago, as our youth were being confirmed, we reaffirmed our commitment to support the ministries of this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to Jesus Christ. And so as we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, I invite you to consider what opportunities might you have to reaffirm your faith. How might you pray? How might you serve? How might you witness to the love of Jesus Christ? And I offer you this morning the opportunity to offer that to God this week as a blessing, perhaps to somebody in your family, perhaps the greater kingdom around us. Would the ushers please come forward for the sharing of our gifts, our tithes and offerings.
If when I walk up
God, we thank you for the abundant opportunities that you have given us to sing your grace and your presence and your peace into this world, into our community, our church, into one another, and into the lives of those whom we love. Bless all that we give through the plates this morning and through our lives in the coming week, that others might know of you and of your amazing grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading on this Confirmation Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all out of his on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last week, we talked about the resurrection as a living hope and an invitation through 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This week, we're looking at the resurrection through the lens of the gospel according to John. Why have I included the word resurrection in both titles of my sermon this month? We are still in the season of Easter. The season of Easter begins on Resurrection Sunday and officially concludes at Pentecost 50 days later. And we will celebrate that on May 24th. All of the Christian life is rooted and grounded in what God has done through Jesus Christ. This revelation of God, the incarnation, God coming in the flesh, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day after his death on the cross. Christmas and Easter are not isolated events. In fact, quite the opposite is true. In our passage today, Jesus begins by telling a parable about a sheepfold, a gate, thieves, bandits, a shepherd, and of course, sheep. However, the preceding verses give much needed context to what Jesus has to say and why he takes up the metaphor of sheep and the shepherd with their care in mind. And I want to encourage and invite you to do some further reading outside of worship today, because I think it will change the way we see this particular chapter in the preceding chapter. So if you have a pen or pencil and a piece of paper, I think there are some in your pews or the back of pews. I invite you to write this down. John chapter 9, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 21. I invite you to read that section of scripture all together, because I think it will give a beautiful lens through which to see the resurrection and to see this passage in particular. As you might have guessed, the title of today's sermon comes from the very last verse of our passage, verse 10. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Life. What is life? Is it the breath in our lungs? Is it the sum of our days and years and experiences within that context of time? There are several ways which we can interpret and define the word. But Jesus is clearly addressing a group of people who have been speaking to him up to this point. And the way that Jesus describes why he came offers us an opportunity to pause and to wonder. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In Sunday school, the children use a concept from what's called godly play. Godly play is a method of teaching different stories in the Bible. This idea from godly play is that when children have heard and talked about the lesson that they're learning for the day, they are invited into an intentional space and time of wondering. What is God saying? How can they use tools like clay or paint or blocks, colored pencils and crayons, to think about the story and about how God might be speaking to them? In other words, how can they encounter God through the story that they've just heard in a creative way? Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's verse 10. But in the following verse, Jesus explicitly states that he is the good shepherd. He lays out for his hearers a direct contrast between himself and the thief. Jesus is using this explanation of the sheep to illustrate for the people the shift between what was and what is, because he is present among them. When I first read the passage in the context of chapter 9 as well, I cried. I was upstairs in the seminary library in the Wesley Lounge, sitting next to a large window that overlooks the student center at the seminary. I had blacked out 3 or 4 hours in my schedule that day in order to read the entire book of John straight through, because I was preparing for a sermon much like this one. Admittedly, that day was the first time that I'd ever read the Gospel according to John straight through without stopping. And I did it because I learned how important the context and the big picture are when we study the Bible. Really, when we study anything, we see things differently at different angles. When we zoom out, as opposed to when we are zoomed in, or when we see it at a quote-unquote regular angle. And so when I read the book of John straight through in one sitting, and especially chapters 9 and 10, I saw the whole book and those two chapters in a way that I'd never, ever seen them before. And we don't see the sort of conjunction or continuity in just reading chapter 10 necessarily. Prior to this, Jesus has just healed a blind man, and the Pharisees are angry because Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And they accused him, Jesus, of not observing the Sabbath. Jesus calls out the Pharisees for being spiritually blind. This figure of speech that Jesus uses of sheep who are in a pen and the shepherd who comes in and calls them, he enters by the gate instead of climbing in. And he calls the sheep by name. He calls them by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them, not behind them. And when he has brought out all his own, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. Instead, they run because they don't know the voice of strangers. In verses 7 and 9, Jesus calls himself the gate. He says that whoever enters by me will be saved, and I will come in, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. Friends, in the time that Jesus was speaking, the pen for the sheep was connected to the house of the shepherd. So there was only one way in, and really one way out. Just as there is only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus. But I want to tell you that that life starts right now. That life starts right now because Jesus is it. Jesus is life. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's why baptism and confirmation matter. That's why what Blake and Weston have done in preparation for this day since the beginning of January matters. And that's why what we say as the congregation alongside them matters. When we enter into God's family, we enter into his life. The resurrection is not just one day. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus did happen on one day, but celebrating it and living into it is not meant for just one day or even a liturgical season in the life of the church. It's a very way of living, a lifestyle that we are invited into. Last week, I referred to a poem by Wendell Berry, the Manifesto, Liberation of Mad Farmers. I don't think I got that quite right, but it's a poem by Wendell Berry, and his last line is practice resurrection. Practice resurrection, and it serves to contrast who we are called to be with the world that we live in that goes really, really fast. When we are rooted and grounded in the love and the life of God, ours changes. We become who we have always been meant to be. Because it's in him that we are alive. Yes, we can physically breathe without knowing him and having a relationship with Jesus, without allowing him to lead and infuse his life into ours. But he is the shepherd who calls the sheep by name and leads them. It's nothing Jesus needed to consider. It's part of his identity. It's who we know him to be. And it's our identity as Christians to follow Jesus, to do what he does and go where he goes. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. We know his voice. God coming in the flesh, doesn't just matter for eternity, where we will see him face to face with nothing between. Easter is the reason that we gather on a Sunday morning for worship. It's the reason we get together and do anything. It matters every day, every single day. It matters for every inch of our lives, every breath that we take. And there's so much more for us than we can imagine, because we're finite creatures created by an infinite God who is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and relational. God is relational. Let that sink in. God wants our whole lives, not just Christmas, not just Easter, not just the day of our baptism or the day of our confirmation. He wants us to live in Easter, and for everything that we do to be done from Easter, through Easter, as if it was the first day of our lives and went on forever. Jesus is the root, and we are grounded in him. His life is our life in the deepest sense of the word. Where is he asking you to let him in so that he can give you his life? What places in you and your living does he desire to revive and restore? As we go into our time of prayer, I want to invite us to have courage. Courage because we know that we are loved with an everlasting love. Courage to listen for God and expect him to speak. Expect him to invite you deeper into his life. He will never take what we do not freely give. God respects our choice, but he leads us with a still, small, and gentle voice. He takes the head of the sheep in his nail-pierced hands and lifts up his head. Jesus was pierced for our transgression and wounded for our iniquities, but the grave could not hold him. It could not hold him, and if we let him lead, it will not hold us. What good news, now and in eternity. And so where is he asking you to let him lead in your life? How does he want to be your foundation, the very source of your life? Where is he calling you, inviting you? Can you hear the invitation in your spirit? The Holy Spirit calls to our spirit. It's a whisper, but it's there. What is he longing to resurrect in you so that you can have abundant life right now with him? As we go to prayer, I invite you to ask God that question and listen for the answer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we go to a time of prayer this morning, we would like to extend our sympathies to the family and friends of Ruth Blair, who passed away on April 14th, 2026. Let us be praying for the family and friends of Ruth Blair as well. God of grace and God of glory, we give you thanks that you are life itself and that you want to give us more than we can ask or imagine. Full and overflowing, your life in us. We give you thanks for the life of Ruth Blair and her love for you. And we pray for the family and friends and ask your comfort and peace upon them. We ask that you would bless Weston and Blake as they have taken steps to say yes, to enter more deeply into your life today through baptism and confirmation. We thank you that as the congregation, we get to affirm our yes, to recommit ourselves to walking with you hand in hand and leaning on you all the way, because you are the strength of our heart and our portion forever. Lord, we pray for those around the world, those who cannot worship you freely, but those whose faith is strong. Provide for them and strengthen them. Give them courage to give witness to you and your love and your truth and your goodness, even in times of hardship and pain. We thank you that as we walk through times of trial and pain and suffering, we can look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who has gone before us and did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he laid it down for a time so that he could walk among us to live and to die and to be raised to life for our sake, and that we have the promise of eternal life and life abundant now because of who you are. Lord, we pray for those in war-torn countries today and those who are hurting both in those countries and around the world. Lord, would you provide in each and every way for each and every need? You know the needs of every person. You know the thoughts of every heart. And Lord, we thank you that you are a just and merciful God. Teach us day by day to further walk in your way, close to you, to practice the resurrection, as the poet Wendell Berry talked about. Thank you for the ways you invite us to do that as a community and as individuals, and that you will lead us on the way that leads to life everlasting. We don't have to figure it out. You will lead us if we take your hand and follow. Lord, give us the courage to follow in every circumstance. We thank you for the gift that it is to be in communion with you, to pray to you, and to be in relationship. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Brothers and sisters, it is so exciting that we got to celebrate with Weston and Blake today. It's an enormous step to commit your life to God. It's an enormous step to stand up front and commit your life and your work to the church. But we are celebrating them because we know God has good plans for them. So I invite you to stand, and we will sing together as a body of Christ, "Lead On, Good Shepherd," because he is not only leading Weston and Blake, he is leading you, and he is leading me. So let us stand as we sing together.
Christ the Lord is risen. He is alive today. And we follow him. Ours is the cross, the grave, and the skies, because he has opened the way for us. And yet, we do not walk alone in this life. He is leading us. If we allow him the opportunity, he has given himself to us and offered himself to lead us to the very life that we were intended to have. Take hold of that life today by taking hold of the hand of Jesus. Walk closely with him, because he is pursuing you and wants you into that deeper life. Go in courage and ask those hard questions. Ask where he wants greater access to you, into the places of your hearts where he wants to be more deeply. Have courage, because you know of his deep, deep love for you. Go in that love with joy and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.